Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you know, today is the last Sunday of the year in the church calendar. Next week, we shall be here next week. It's the first Sunday in Advent, and we start all over again because we need to know the story, why Jesus came. So, as we begin next week, Advent, we will begin the cycle of the church year all over again. This year, most of the Sundays, we use the Gospel of Luke. And you probably notice that Luke is direct. He doesn't go around the bush. He doesn't overuse words. It's today's text, right to the point. So, next year, it will be a different gospel. But today also is the celebration of Christ the King. The gospel text that we have is the Christian tradition, is the way to the cross. It is difficult that in the midst of these festive feelings for Christmas, especially after maybe last year not having the opportunity to worship as we normally do. It was a little different, I think. Wasn't it last year or the year before? I kind of lose count now. I'm just glad that we're here now, that all that is behind us, thank God. So we bring, in the middle of all this, the way to see the story of the crucifixion of our Lord. And I think all over the world we celebrate Christmas, but not everybody celebrates the same thing we do. A lot of people, because they just don't want to, or they don't know, or even if they partake in the celebration, they really don't know the whole story of Jesus dying on the cross, as we're seeing today, and for what? You know, I didn't grow up in a church that was Bible. The Word of God was first, and the gospel, the law and gospel. So I did not understand a lot of it. I participated, of course, in the festivities, like everybody else. In my culture, we celebrate a lot with a lot of things for Christmas and New Year's and all that. But a lot of us don't know why. I didn't. Maybe some of them do. I don't want to speak for them. But in my case, I didn't for a lot of years. And we shouldn't be ashamed if we didn't know. Now, it could have been the circumstances or even me not looking for God's word. God came into my life and I was probably your age, 40, until I opened God's word. And God revealed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, I can tell anybody, and I do, why Jesus came to us. Why did he hang on the cross? As people say, well, if God is love, why did he allow his son to hang on that cross? That's an opening for me to say, oh, wait a minute, let me tell you why. You know? And a lot of times, people talk like that because I think, you know why? Because they don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't know there is forgiveness in Christ for us. So, we tend to maybe hide away from the real reason why we celebrate things. Even the resurrection and Easter. You know, the pretty colors, the flowers, the young little girls dressing up with the beautiful hairdos and all those beautiful things. But a lot of us don't know. That is the resurrection, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and the triumphant resurrection over death, sin, and the devil. So it's important that us, as Christians and servants of Christ, we know what is the season. And in simple words, share with other people. Because believe me not, the opportunities show up. And we don't have to get into theology, not even doctrine or church or religion. Just talk to them about the love of Jesus. Because that's how I came to know the Lord. The Lord came to me, but through the love of Christians. I never seen the love of Christians in other people. I couldn't understand it at first, but then when God revealed his love for me, everything made sense. So as we go through the crucifixion, we still can celebrate the coming of the babe in Bethlehem, because that's the season. See, we believe that Jesus hung on the cross and went through the suffering for us. Even though Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Now, I think if you, people that don't know the complete gospel, they might think that he was asking forgiveness for the people that took part in his crucifixion. The religious leaders, the soldiers, they pushed that crown on his head. The people, they say, if he is really the Son of God, let him save himself. You know, today they sound like things, very, very evil things that they said. But Jesus was right. They didn't know what they were saying. Today people might not use those words, but they challenge God's way of doing things. You know, when we come to know our Lord, when people say things to me, I go, "I don't know. That's what how God made it." And I don't argue with God. I says, "You know, I go, I guess when we can create a world like he did, and then humans like us, we can do whatever we want. In the meantime, this is God's creation, and he can do whatever he pleases. He made it that way because that's what he wants to do." See, to us it's simple. So some people, it's hard to understand the crucifixion, you know? But then a lot of them don't know about the resurrection and why that he triumphed over death. And that's why in the church, when we go through the cycle, you know, we go through the Christmas and after Christmas and then Lent, we learn why he came, grew up, and he was on his way to the cross. So I'm going to read verse 33 in today's text. He says, "When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other one on his left." That's when Jesus said, "Forgive them." Now, we know that he wasn't just asking forgiveness for them, because he came not to save himself, as they were challenging him, demanding that. He came to save you and me and every sinner. So when we know the gospel of Jesus Christ, see, even though we're sad to hear about the way he had to go through things, we know there was a purpose for our salvation. So one of them said, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Did you not fear God?" I guess if someone having claiming to have power, it wouldn't be too strange to say something like that. You know, sometimes I guess we do it with people, or, you know, I don't know why when we're raising kids, they think, I mean, they love their mom, and they know that for everything they go to mom. But for that, they see us like we're invincible. Everything says, "Oh, dad can do it." And we just go, "Oh, yeah?" And then, you know what? I started to believe that. I used to say, "If someone can do that, it's me." I didn't know better. Excuse me. So one of the thieves challenged God. He confessed for himself and to the other criminal, "We are receiving the due reward of our deeds." He recognizes his bad deeds, his sins. So with these words, he basically confessed that he had earned it with his crimes. As we earn death with our sins. God says that the wages of sin is death. So thank God for his grace. So he put his hope and praise this way: "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This repentant sinner, see, sometimes people get a little confused on when we repent. I think they figure they should put a sad face, and it's okay if they want to, you know, or if they feel like it. But, you know, just seeing what we've done or what we think, and it makes us feel bad, and we say, "Well, I shouldn't be doing it." That's the beginning of repentance. And then when we confess, God forgives us. See, to people that don't understand, at times when we say, "Well, you Christian claim that God forgives everything," we say, "Yeah, but he does." "Well, that's so easy. You can do whatever you..." I says, no, it doesn't work that way. I says, but he does forgive everything. Some people say, "Well, that's why I don't go to church. If I go, the roof will cave in." I go, "Don't worry about it." I go, "The people that are there, we bring our stuff." I go, don't you think that... I go, "Look, any sin that someone has committed is not greater than the power of Christ hanging on the cross." I say, he paid for all sin, for everyone. See, those simple things, people can learn that. And their life will begin to change. Because that's how we can plant the seed of faith. Faith in what? In Christ. Because people say a lot of things. They say, "Well, the truth will set you free." Yeah, but it's the truth of God. See, they don't finish the whole thing. Because there's a lot of truth out there, but it changes. So when we talk to people about the gospel and things that we learn here, we can just say it very simple. Like in today's, you know, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, sometimes we call paradise heaven, God's kingdom, you know. So What this translation really means, the word paradise means the place designated for the blessed. The Jews called it Abraham's bosom. The translation means garden is a garden of Eden. You know, when I lost someone that I really, that I still love, and I always will, I wanted to know where the person was. And I got a lot of answers. But you know what gave me comfort? Paul, when he said to the Romans, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then he made a long list. And on the list includes death. So for me, now I says, they're in the love of God in Christ Jesus. What better place? It doesn't have, I don't have to know a place in the universe or a geographical place or put on Google Maps where is it and all that. I don't have to know that. I know that it's in the love of Christ. And there's nothing that can touch us there. And we are too. And in the present. So when Jesus came after the crucifixion and the resurrection, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and in today's epistle, he says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwelled in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things on heaven, by making peace through his blood that he shed on the cross for us. And all things definitely includes all people. So when we tell people, yeah, he forgets all our sins, he says, well, that's easy. But it wasn't easy for God. He had to go through that. We know that when our loved ones go through something even small, wow, we fall apart. Can you imagine the father seeing his son going through this? Now, when it says all people, it includes the criminal dying on the cross and includes you and me. So he satisfied God's justice on our behalf. And he adopted us into his family. You know, that's another thing that a lot of people, and I don't want to exclude nobody, but God's word says that we all creation from God. But we become his children in baptism. There the importance of being baptized. I'm always quickly to say to people, are you baptized? They go, yeah. I go, you're a child of God. But I always ask. You know, I don't want to give them their own impression. If they say no, I go, well, you gotta baptize yourself. You know? I says, you gotta believe and be baptized. So through what Jesus did, he makes us his children. He adopted us into his family. And he made it possible for us to stand before God and see not the terrifying judge of the law, but a loving father. You know, a lot of people sometimes, I don't know to you, but to me, they quote me the law. They go, well, you being a pastor, how can you think that way? Or how can you, I go, well, you know, it's, I says, you know, and I asked Pastor Dave one time, I says, Dave, why do we do and think and say these things? He says, brother, it's because we're sinners. It made sense to me. And now when I'm starting to go on my own, I go, wait a minute, this is not from God. I go, and I says, the devil's trying to get me to think all these things. I says, Lord, please help me. Simple. You know? So when they bring the law, it's because they're living under the law and they're counting on all these works. So I say to themselves, well, God forgive me. I says, and you know, I'm content because He has taken the burden of my guilt away. And they still doubt. I said, well, will it be better for you if we have to drag ourselves on our knees back and forth here? I go, will that satisfy you more? I says, if it does, go ahead. I says, I'm satisfied with what Christ did on the cross for me, I says. So that's why we don't receive the eternal punishment we deserve, but life forever in the joy of his presence. And he has given us the right to be called the children of God and follow him in his resurrection to eternal life. See, that's another term that we don't hear too much outside of the church. Eternal life. You want to scare a group of people, just talk about eternal life. They kind of go, they don't know what to say, you know. But to us, it's so common to talk about eternal life because that's the truth. So during this church year, we have focused primarily on the gospel according to Luke. It began as the Son of God descended from his throne to take our human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And that's what we're going to celebrate next month. And it ended as the same Son of God ascended into the right hand of the Father. And during his journey, he redeemed mankind from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. So Christ's journey opened up the way to heaven or paradise or the kingdom of God or in the presence of the love of God to all who believe in his name. For those who believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin, the way of life leads not to a day of terror, of judgment, but an eternity of heavenly joy in the presence of our Lord. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.